This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this week we're going to answer a question, and that is it permissible for the believer to love this worldly life? Does a Muslim love this worldly life and its wealth and its materialistic matters? That's what we want to answer through reflecting over an ayah from the Quran, and that is ayah 27 from Surah Al-Insan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ يُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةِ وَيَذَرُونَ وَرَاءَهُمْ يَوْمًا ثَقِيلًا. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the disbelievers, those who rejected al-Islam and rejected the message of al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he describes them by saying, إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ, verily these people, the disbelievers, يُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةِ, they love this worldly life. Al-ajila is the worldly life. It comes from the word ajala, for something to hasten. And that's the worldly life. That's the nature of this worldly life. Yani, a person can get his hands on things really quickly. Yani, things are in hand's reach. And today, yani, this meaning of al-ajila is even more evident, right? You open your smartphone, you open an app, you purchase what you want, and it's almost there on the door. From minutes to a few hours to probably a few days, whatever it is, it can come from international, from 8,000 kilometers away. You purchase something and it reaches you in a day or two. Allahu Akbar. So this is why this dunya was called al-ajila. It's quick, and you receive its materialistic matters really quick. إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ يُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking about the disbelievers. He said a quality of theirs is that they love this worldly life. But wait a second. Then he said, وَيَذَرُونَ وَرَاءَهُمْ يَوْمًا ثَقِيلًا, and they leave behind them a heavy day. The heavy day is the day of judgment, because indeed this is a heavy day. And it is a difficult day. And it is a troubling day for many. And what it means that they leave behind them the day of judgment, meaning they do not prepare for it. It's not their priority in this worldly life. They leave it behind their backs. Like, they throw it behind them. And when you throw something behind you, you're not looking at it. So you're not focused on it. And you don't prepare for it. Now we can understand that what is forbidden and what is impermissible is to love this worldly life and its matters so much to the point where you leave the afterlife and the preparation for the afterlife. This is how we understand things. Otherwise, naturally, everyone loves this worldly life. Everyone loves cars, money, homes, you know. In fact, we have been made khulafa on the earth. Khulafa. And from the job of a khalifa on earth, is to build this earth. Build it. This is the job of a human being, is to build homes and infrastructure, build the economy of countries, societies. So there is an attachment. There is a love for this worldly life and its materialistic matter and its homes and its cars and so on. There is a natural love. But if this love for the worldly life reaches a point in where you begin to transgress against Allah's laws. So now you start cheating, you fraud, you lie, you shortchange people, you gamble, you steal, you engage in riba transactions. If your love for the worldly life pushes you to do al-haram so that you can earn extra of this worldly life, extra wealth, extra materialistic possession, then of course this type of love for the dunya is condemned and it's haram. And if your love of this worldly life reaches a point where you begin to leave off the obligations, you don't pray, you don't attend Salat al-Jumu'ah, you're coming late to Salat al-Jumu'ah, you're only making the prayer, you're missing al-Khutbah, and you're missing Ramadan, and you're missing al-Hajj, and you're neglecting it because you're too busy collecting wealth of this worldly life because of your love for it, no doubt this type of love is haram. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, O you who believe, don't allow your wealth, this dunya, and do not allow your children to distract you from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, from your obligations, from your prayers, from your fasting, from your hajj, and so on. Now, so this is why we answer this question by saying it is permissible for a believer to have this natural love for the worldly life and its wealth and its cars and so on. But if this love reaches the point where you begin to do haram so that you can earn more of it, or you're leaving obligations to earn more of it, then there is no doubt that this type of love is haram. And finally, my brothers and sisters in Islam here, I wanted to share with you that you see, us as Muslims, we need to train ourselves every day to detach from this worldly life. We need to train ourselves to detach from it. And naturally, this is what worships do. The one who's on top of his worships, they naturally detach us from this worldly life, so that our love for this life is balanced. It's balanced. It doesn't become excessive. And these worships, of course, first and foremost, when you engage in the worships, right, the obligations, the voluntary worships of the day and the night, then this is how you are preparing for the afterlife. So the love of ad-dunya hasn't reached excess in your life, because you're preparing for the afterlife with the worship. And the nature of worships is that they disconnect us from this worldly life. They literally detach us. Like, look, for example, the prayer. The prayer literally detaches you from this worldly life. You can't eat, you can't drink, you can't even talk. And these are luxuries of the worldly life. Look at fasting. When you fast, you can't eat, you can't drink, you can't engage in sexual relations. And these three matters that I mentioned, these are the greatest pleasures and desires of this worldly life. And as zakat, when you give your zakat and then you give charity, it's detaching you from wealth. It's detaching you from this money, which is a luxury. And when you do hajj, look at the nature of this worship, al-hajj. You know, you literally take off your clothes, which is a luxury, and you wear two pieces of clothing. And even, yani if you're a woman listening, how does this become relevant? Because even in al-hajj, you're not allowed to clip nails and to put perfume on, and these are luxuries. And you cannot, for the men, wear fitted clothing, and you cannot cut your hair, and cutting hair is a luxury as well. And even in hajj, you're not allowed to have sexual relations, neither during the day nor during the night, as opposed to Ramadan. Ramadan, at least you can practice sexual relation in the night. But in hajj, you can't even do that during the day or the night until you finish from your ihram. So you see, the nature of worships, it detaches us from this worldly life. It trains us to keep the hereafter in our sight. And it becomes our main focus of the day and the night. And that way, your love for this worldly life will be balanced. It won't be too much to the point where you do the haram. And this is what is required. Naam, wallahu a'lam. والحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين